Okay. So today I want to discuss a topic today about topic now that we are doing the getting close to the 9 days. There are a number of things that we do throughout the entire year. We do the Zecher, the Churban Yerushalayim. I have here a sefer. It's a very chashuv sefer. It's called Peninis Hamikdash. Kebedine Asiya Zecher L'Churban. Okay, all the different things that we do, throughout the entire year, Zecher L'Churban. So we have over here a collection. Run through them, some of these things are very quickly, so we'll just discuss some of the basic things. The first minug in Klal Yisrael that we do, that is brought down, these things are brought down in Shulchan Aruch, some things are Minhagim, is that we, in the person's bayis, in their home, you leave over an area of one amma by one amma that is not finished, Zecher L'Churban. Does anyone have this? Does anyone actually do this? In their home?
Wow. When you build new.
When you only, also, you're saying a lot of chidushim over here. Only when you build new.
So they do a total renovation.
Only in Eretz
Yisrael. Oh, so Mark is saying only in Eretz Yisrael. What about in Yerushalayim? Okay, this is a very, very broad topic, but there is a principle of leaving over in your home an area of one amma by one amma. An amma is approximately 18 inches by 18 inches.
Then you have the machmir, how big an amma?
How big is an amma? Is an amma 18 inches by 18 inches, or is it two feet by two feet? It is not complete. You leave over the sid, the lime. There's a whole sefer on this. I'm only reading you from the Hakdama, which just gives you the halacha, it's bekitzer, before he delves into the nitty gritty details. I didn't get so far. And he goes through every little prat in l'chol perotecha v'diktukecha v'chavonasecha. But I just want to know if just the basic ideas, not to get into technical details.
What happens if you bought a house?
So you're saying very good. So there are many limitations to this halacha. So Dr. Dove already said the first limitation is, many will tell you this halacha only applies when you build new. Rabbi Sai, please, it's really getting out of hand. We have to, the give and take is wonderful. Okay, Rabbi Sai, can we please ask everyone that when we talk in a civil way. Let's go back. We have over here a halacha that there's a minig, it's put on Shulchan Aruch when a person in a bayis, he's supposed to leave over an area of one amma by one amma that is not finished, that is incomplete, in order to demonstrate the churban of, to show that your home is incomplete, just as an expression that the base Hamikdash, there is something incomplete about Hashem's bayis. How can my bayis be complete if Hashem does not have a bayis altogether? Who is the one that was machadish this idea? David. David HaMelech said, how could it be that I'm a king? I'm living in a palace. I have a beautiful palace, bricks and stones. It's beautiful and it's magnificent. And Hashem's Shekhinah is resting in a curtain. Hashem, David already built himself a palace before Hashem had for himself a permanent structure. And the truth is, it's not so silly because whoever says Hashem wants a bias, Hashem, spirituality does not have any place in this world. Ruchnius belongs in the next world. This world is nothing more than a prozdar, an antechamber to the next world. So who says you're setting the right tone when you build for Hashem a magnificent bayis? Maybe when you come to shul, a shul should be nothing more than a trailer. You have a nice, beautiful house, but when you go to shul, the shul is the shvach bayis, is just a trailer, because you're setting the wrong tone. If you go and you have a beautiful structure for a bais hakneses, it's almost like you're saying there does not exist another world. This is the end. There's no more spirituality that a person can expect when he leaves this world. By building in this world a permanent structure for a Beis HaKnesses, for Hashem, maybe you could argue that you're sending the wrong message. if you're building something permanent in this world for Hashem, it's almost as if you're saying is there's nothing more to expect. There's nothing that after a person dies, chas v'shalom, it's all over. There's no more ruchnius. So adarabah, the way a shul, Hashem's bayis should be, it should be dafka be a temporary structure to impress upon a person that ruchnius in this world is temporary. The real ruchnius is the next world. That's where the ikur bayis of Hashem is to be found. Achar Meir Ve'eshim, when a person's neshama goes to Shmei Shamayim, to the Elyonim, that's where he's going to see the Yerushalayim Shel Maila. By creating in this world a structure that's magnificent with beauty, you're misleading people. You're giving them the impression that this world is where it starts and where it ends, and there's nothing more to live for.
Or you look at any solid building that's magnificent and everything, as big and magnificent as it is, it's a temporary structure.
So
yes, we're building something beautiful, big and strong, but it's a temporary structure.
Okay, in this world, we all know there are shelters,
everything comes out. Don't we see everything in this world eventually comes down?
Okay, but still, relative to, if you have two structures. One is a tent, and one is a magnificent building like you've never seen. So you say, this is temporary, and this is permanent. If the place of Hashem's presence is in a structure that in the eyes of man in this world, relative to is a permanent structure, there's a danger. The danger is, you're giving a human being the impression, this is where it is, that's it. There's nothing more to it. Well, David HaMelech, until the time of David HaMelech, till the Melech, Hashem's Shechina was not in the permanent structure. Even Shiloh, there wasn't a permanent ceiling. There was no ceiling. There was stone walls. But there was no shelter. There were Urias. And everything else certainly was nothing but wasn't a permanent structure. David comes. Finally, there's a degree of Menucha. And he builds himself a palace. I'm living in a beautiful, magnificent palace. And Hashem's divine presence is still in a tent. And David comes up with an idea. David comes up with an idea, a tremendous, how could it be that I live in a permanent structure and Hashem's divine presence is in a tent? Well, David, what took you so long to think about this? Why did you build a palace to begin with? How did you think, what took you so long until now? And the answer is, there's a very strong argument to be made that Adarabah, that the Beis HaMikdash, that Hashem's divine presence should not be in a permanent structure, because it sends to a person a message that this is the end. There's nothing more. This is the permanent dwelling place of Hashem. Hashem is in the Tachtoinim. Hashem Chasham is not in the Elyoinim. And after a person leaves this world, that's it, it's over. David had to mature. He had to live longer to come to an appreciation, a sophistication, that's not true. You can make for Hashem a permanent structure in this world, and it's not going to mislead people to think that this is the final. It's a degree of maturity. A degree, something which it's the time came that something Hashem also needs to have in this world a makom that is mechubad. When we in our private homes, and this is an important principle when it comes to appreciating in our private homes, we do not complete our home today. When we build a home, we're supposed to leave over a little section to serve as a reminder. How can my home be complete when Hashem does not have a home? Well, I'll tell you, what are you talking about? Hashem has a home, not in this world, in Shemayim, in Yerushalayim Shalmaila. And there it's magnificent. Mm-hmm. We could very easily fall back into the trap of what was going through the mind of David HaMelech. When David HaMelech had a palace, and there was no Beis HaMikdash. It's an amazing thing. David HaMelech had a bayis, and there was no area, Dalid al Dalid, in David's palace. Oh, Hashem doesn't have a bayis. David built a palace. You can be certain every single part of his palace was complete. There was nothing missing. David Melech Yisrael, Ein Anias Bimkoim Ashiris, the palace of the Melech, there wasn't one area in David's palace that was, there were no blind spots from the Secret Service. every single corner of the palace was complete, was Shalem. And then David says, wait a minute. Shouldn't it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should also have a Mokim in this world? Oh, but this is not the final, this is not the where all the action really is. The action really is to be found in Shemaim. I'm sending a wrong message. No, you're not. You're not sending a wrong message. People are not so stupid. People are going to know that Enochinami, in this world, you built for Hashem the most magnificent resting location. And it's not going to confuse, it's not going to happen that a person is going to be foolish to think that this is where it ends. It's okay. Be mechabed Hashem with a permanent structure in this world for his divine resting. And don't worry, it's not, no one's going to be misled to think this is where all the action is, and this world is it's not a contradiction to the principle that this world is nothing more than a prozdar, an antechamber, a hallway to the next world. When a person today in his private home opens up an area of dal of a one amma by one amma, you are putting yourselves in the shoes of David HaMelech, coming to a realization that no matter what you do for Hashem in this world is still nothing more than a prozdar to the next world. It's very deep. Imagine, okay, Zeichel Churban. Here we have an area, Amal Amo, Zeichel Churban. There's no Beis HaMikdash, Chaval, Morngolis. Oh, Zeichel Churban. My bias can't be complete if Hashem doesn't have a bias. That's a very, it's an oversimplified lumdis of the minhag. It's much deeper than that. Hashem doesn't need a bias in this world. He doesn't need a bias. This Hashem is not missing nothing. If Hashem wanted a bias, he would have made a bias. When Hashem made this world, Shakai, Sha'omar, Le'olamoy, die. In fact, Hashem made an open, blatant statement, I don't need here a bias. Thank you, but no thank you. I don't need here in this world anything for myself. Sha'omar, Le'olamoy, die. I don't want my name to be associated with this world. So, kvoidei shaladam, ritzoinei shaladam zehu kvoidei. If Hashem said, die. No. David HaMelech, it took him time to come to the realization that it's die. No matter what we do for Hashem, it will never ultimately, it's impossible to be meichel, the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you still have a duty to make for Hashem a bias in this makom. So in other words, when we go and we make an area of Dalid al Dalid, we are connecting with David HaMelech to the moment in his life when he matured to realize, you know something? Hashem has to have a Mokum Choshev in this world. Even though Hashem doesn't need it, even though Hashem said die, and even though whatever we're going to do is only, the whole world is only a prozdar. It doesn't matter. This is how you do things in this world. You build for Hashem the most magnificent dwelling place, and it is not a contradiction to being makir that this world is still nothing more than a prozdar la'olam haba. It's a profound moment of hakara. If you look at the nusach, look at the nusach. When David goes to Nasan Hanavi, and he says to Nasan, "I have an idea, yesh li rayon. I have an einfall, an epiphany. Why don't we build for Hashem a Beis HaMikdash? I have a great idea." Nasan Hanavi says, "Wow, That's an idea. And we look at this today like I mean, like, of course, right? Isn't that how we look at it today? But let's go back in time. David built himself a palace. He conquered Eretz Yisrael. His malchus is secure. And then, guess what? I thought of an idea. No one ever thought of this idea. A new einfall. Why don't we make for Hashem a nice mikdash? Right now, Hashem's Shechina is in a tent. It's in one of those old beaten-up trailers that you got on eBay that was used by some construction site somewhere in Arizona, and you put it on a flatbed truck and you stuck it over here in Flatbush by some construction site. That's where the Shechina is resting now, in a little tent, a little hut. I got a great idea. No one ever thought about this idea. And Nosson HaNavi says, interesting idea. Interesting. You know what? David, do it. Go ahead. It's a good idea. And then Hashem comes to Nosson HaNavi, and you have to read the Psukim, and Hashem says, whoever told you to do this? You have to read the Psukim very carefully there. Wow, you want to build me a bias? I never had a bias. I never had a bias. You want to, no one ever thought of this, to build me a bias from the time that I took you out of Mitzrayim. I was in a little tent. Such an idea. Whoever asked you, it's almost like Hashem has tainus. Who's asking you for this? All right, you want to build me a bias? All right, I'll let you do it. But not you, David, because you have blood on your hands. Shloimeh will build a bias. When you read the sequence of Sukkim, like, we're so brainwashed. Like, of course, the Beis HaMikdash, HaRachman, Hiratzah Melvnachash, Shemelokim, Vosish, Yibon HaBeis HaMikdash, Rev Yameinu. Of course. No, not of course. This goes against the whole grain of Judaism that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should have a Beis HaMikdash. It was a novel idea. And even Hashem says, I never asked for this. You want to go do this for me? Okay, I'll accept, but not you, Shlomo.
It's like the Kohanim are dressed in these magnificent garments, right?
That's in the Mishkan, in the tent. There's the Mishkan. Hashem commanded us in the Torah HaKadosha to build a Mishkan. A Mishkan is wood. A structure. There's a physical, right, I'm with you. We have a whole parasha, Truma Tetzav, of Yaakov Bekudei. They set up the Mishkan in the desert for 40 years. They came into Gilgal. They had the same thing of Moy for 14 years. They were in Kibbutz Shech. No one had any ideas. For 14 years, it was in Gilgal. They went to Shiloh. Shiloh, they had stone walls, but there was no ceiling. The ceiling was made from cloth. Would you have in your home cloth? When it rained yesterday, and it rains, will we survive one moment if you have some shmatis for the roof? You wouldn't survive a day. Okay, you wouldn't survive a day. There was no structure, permanent structure. You just go and you have a tent. And when you do the avodah, you put on nice clothing, you do this. You have a whole Torah telling you to do the avodah. But to make for Hashem a bias? Whoever heard of such a thing? The Torah never, ever gave instructions to make for Hashem a permanent bias. Hashem's instructions were to make a Mishkan. It's called a Mikdash also. There are allusions to it. This was a novel idea. What? That's a Mikdash Ma'at. V'ohi lohem le-Mikdash Ma'at. That was only after there was a Beis HaMikdash.
Before then there wasn't?
No! Before there was a Beis HaMikdash, I don't know what went on during the time of Kibush Sechiluk. There were bombois. They built structures.
Did people daven?
Well, they did. Has to be. What was the nature of minyan? And they had minyan. I have no idea. But we have to appreciate. It's clear as day that until the time of David HaMelech, it was not even a hava amina to build for Hashem a bias. Hashem's divine presence, by design, is resting in a temporary structure, because this world is a temporary world. Don't get too comfortable in this world. This world is temporary.
Was the Shiloh solid?
No, as I just said, the ceiling was cloth. The walls were stone, but the roof, there was no roof. They put the yerios of the Mishkan. Yerios, would you live in a house without a roof? Okay, Madach, when a little teeny drop of water comes in, you go, oh no, I gotta go call the roofer until he comes. And he says, how much is this gonna cost? What, are you joking with me? Right? Okay, so you live in your house without a roof? Of course not. Of course, in Shiloh for 369 years, they couldn't find a roofer. They lived with shmatis covering by design, because you're dealing with spirituality. Are we here in this world forever? We're only here, it's a blink, it's a blip of time. This world is a temporary world. We're only here for a short time to take advantage, opportunities to do Torah mitzvahs, and we're gone. This world is a proizdor. Lo'olam haba. Olam haba is nitzri. This goes against the grain of Judaism, that you should build for Hashem a permanent structure. Hashem has no permanence. Ruchnis has no permanence in this world. We're here temporary beings. For three, the Torah, nowhere does the Torah tell you to build a mikdash. It tells you to build a mishkan. I know it says the Torah also the mikdash, but basically look at the structure in the Truma Tetzaveh. This is a temporary structure. This is by design. David HaMelech built a magnificent palace. He was living in this beautiful, exquisite home like no one ever seen before. There were no areas of Dalet al Dalet, Am al Am. In David HaMelech's home, there's no Am al Am. When you come into David's home of, oh, they didn't finish Zecher L'Churban. No, there's no Am al Am. And where is Hashem's Shechina resting? In a tent. After the Churban Shiloh, they went to Noiv and Givon, then to Ir David. Nothing, nothing. Mamish, Yerios, no walls, no nothing, nothing.
What and kind
of roof did he
have?
David?
Yeah.
David must have had a magnificent roof. What? He was a palace. What are you talking about? Wood? No. He lived in a permanent palace. He had wood. They had a real palace. They lived in a permanent structure. It wasn't even a Hava Amina. Because if you think about it deeply, the Shechina is Ruchnius. Ruchnius has no permanence in this world. We only hear it sets the wrong message. And you read the Pesukim. I should have opened up, get the Pesukim ready and Sefer Shmuel. And Sefer Shmuel. David, he has a beautiful palace. The Shechina is in a little tent. And one day he wakes up and he says, guess what? An epiphany. I got an idea. Let's build for Hashem a permanent structure.
Now what type of roof did that have?
What type of roof?
Stone.
The Gemara in Masechta tells you in utter detail.
In
utter detail, there were wood. I think wood and lime, lood. Two floors. There were two floors. The base Hamidosh by Yisrush and by Yisheni had two floors. The second floor. And tells you how thick the ceiling was. There were beams, there were slats, there was cement. It was a real building, a permanent structure. Wow. And Nosan, you read the Psukim like, Nosan, really? You want to do this? Who says? Who says you're allowed to even do this? Like, I was talking to Dr. Aaron Mendel, he makes a Tisha B'Av program. He always tells me he makes a Tisha B'Av program. So this is his 41st year of the Tisha B'Av program. Would you believe it? 41 years. Doing the Tisha B'Av program. So he tells him at the very beginning when he first made the Tisha B'Av program, so he asked the very big Talmud Chacham to speak. So he says to him, what? You want to make a program on Tisha B'Av? Someone should speak and say a drasha? Are you allowed to do this? You're not allowed to do this? This is Asur. Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to do this? You sit on the floor. Hisbaididus. You're not allowed to come together. You're not allowed to come to... You don't want to do this. This is Asur. So he said to him, you know he said this to? He said this to, you know he said this to, he invited to speak? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Yosheber Soloveitchik's son. He was a professor in YU. He's still a professor, I think he's still a professor in YU. Not sure. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He asked him to speak, to give a drasha. So he says, you're not allowed to do this. Tisha B'Av. So he says, excuse me, your father did this every year. I myself used to go to Boston on Tisha B'Av, and your father, he sat in shul, and we had a big kehillah came every year. He had like a program. Oh, Taka, you're right. Taka, you're right. My father used to do this. But you allowed to do this? Today, Torah Anytime, I think, has at least 30 live programs. They broadcast simultaneously 30 programs. And 41 years ago, are you allowed to do this? Are you allowed to do this? 31, just they have streaming live. Can you imagine why YU has a few programs, the OU has a few programs, and every single Rav has a program going on Zoom, with like probably 100 programs. Okay, 41 years ago. Oh, no, there's no money in this. Mandel doesn't make a penny. He has to pay out of his own pocket. His wife told me, if you ever go to his house, so that the front of their home is not in good shape. It needs to be redone. The front of the facade of their house. So his wife told me, we never ever redid the house in the front because I don't want anyone to chas v'shalom think that we made that we made money from the program and we used it to remodel our house. Chas v'shalom. I know it's a fact. It doesn't make a penny. It's always a loss. Always, every year it's a loss. Every year, it doesn't make a penny from it. And like chas v'shalom, someone should think that we take money for the Churban Yerushalayim. There are crazy people out there. They think you have a program. Oh, you make money. There's no money. The cost. Everyone just wants money for every little prat is money. It's not financed by anyone. It's not the sponsors. It's everything's. There's no, believe me. I know firsthand how much money comes in, how much everything costs. No one should chas v'shalom think that we took a penny from this program to go finance to pay for any bills. Chas v'shalom. Okay. Now let's go further. It was a novelty that you can build for Hashem a permanent structure. It was a novelty. David has a beautiful palace. Hey, why not? Am I sending a bad message to the Jewish people that Kedusha ends here in this world? This is the permanent place of Kedusha, and after a person dies, goes to Shemayim, there's no Kedusha? No, you're not sending a wrong message. Not everyone is such a fool. People understand that this world is a prozdar to Olam Haba, but yet, in the prozdar, it has to be Choshev. The prozdar has to be Choshev. When you in your home take an Amma al Amma, what you're doing is, it's not just Zeichel L'Churban. You are connecting to the moment in time in Jewish history where David HaMelech was living in a palace and he said, hey, you know, why don't we also make for Hashem a nice bias? It's not just a Zeichel L'Churban. Oh, the basement was destroyed, so how could I live in such a nice house? How could I live in a nice house and Hashem doesn't have a house? Well, guess what? David lived in a very nice house. He lived in a magnificent palace and there was no Beis HaMikdash and he did not have an Amma al Amma. And then David woke up one day and said, why not? Why not? There was no Churban. There was no Churban in the life of David. The bias wasn't Charaf. This is the way it was. Hashem is in a tent and I'm in a palace. That's the way it's supposed to be. And then David realized, is that the way it's Taka supposed to be? Why don't we Taka do something for Hashem? Why don't we go in and be proactive? Let me build for Hashem something. That's what the Amal Amma is in the bias. It's not just about Churban. Why don't I pick myself up and get out of my house and do something for Hashem? Let me do something for him. Let me go. Yeah, there's a world that goes on. That's besides the point. But why don't I build something for Hashem? Build something more magnificent, more constructive. There's something very profound about the Amma al Amma in your bias.
common.
Then he owns is another decorative point.
A decorative form. So
that they put something in.
You know, at least it's a zecher. Lamashal, you go to the chal, come down in a second. You break the glass, and everyone mazel tov. What's the mazel tov breaking the glass? Breaking the glass is a chorban. Okay, zecher l'chorban Yerushalayim. Okay, we're not so stupid. We know that.
No.
But we break the glass. You break the glass, and when you break the glass. Chorban Yerushalayim. Okay. Chorban Yerushalayim. And now Mazel Tov. Okay, it seems funny. You're breaking the glass. It's almost as if you're saying Mazel Tov. But we're not so foolish. So Taka, so you have an Amal Amma. And the Amal Amma, okay, so people, they decorate the Amal Amma. They do this and this. Bottom line is, the Amma Al Amma is the continuous reminder. It's a continuous reminder. Where is Hashem's bias? Where is it? Where is it? Where is Hashem's bias? And I'm trying to say it's not only sad. There's something exciting about it. There's the sadness. There's a chorban. Okay, there's a chorban. But the whole year is not sad. It's David HaMelech, when he came to this epiphany, I'm going to build a bias for Hashem. How could I live in such a beautiful bias and Hashem has nothing? There was no chorban. It was a moment of excitement, a moment of revelation that you got to do something for Hashem. And it's not a contradiction to acknowledging that this world is a prozol olam haba. That's what I want to try to suggest in this concept of the amma al amma in the bias. Now the halachas are very, very interesting, the halachas. Many will argue that in chutz la'aretz, there's no need to do this. Okay, not everyone has this. Some will tell that in chutz la'aretz, this minhag was never established. It only was established in Eretz Yisrael. You know why? Because you don't belong here altogether. You don't belong in chutz la'aretz. Mark, you have a house in chutz la'aretz. You don't belong in chutz la'aretz. You have three houses, one in Florida, one in Lakewood, and one in Flatbush. You have three houses. You don't belong. The place, the Iker Minuk to leave over in Amal Amma is in Eretz Yisrael. Some hold that in Yerushalayim you're not supposed to do it. Okay, they do it in Yerushalayim. Some hold that, for some reason, in Yerushalayim? No. Only in the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, but not Mamashin Yerushalayim. Why not? I don't know. Okay, I don't know people. I don't know people in Yerushalayim because you're ready in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. You don't
see the chorban.
Maybe I don't know the exact reason, but
it wasn't this chapter.
L'shvatim, it's everyone's property. It's not your house to destroy. Okay, so there are different minhagim if you do. Now, where do you put the amal amma? So some hold the ikur makom is not somewhere on top of the door. So that means, when are you going to see it? You're going to see it when you leave. When you leave. Like where the exit sign is, that's the alama. The exit sign, that's the alama on top of the door. And some say, Pufakarat, some say, is when you walk in the door and on the opposite side. So that would be where the emergency lights are. And this is the emergency lights on the back of the room over here. When you come in, it's the alama that's keneged the Pesach. Okay, so it's not always practical. Your wife won't necessarily let you do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about a very pretty.
It depends what you do. Yeah. And all. What about in the Beis HaKnesses? So it's brought down. You're not in the Beis HaKnesses. Only in a personal bias. We're not in a shul. There's no rental. Well, it depends. You can't damage. It's not yours to damage. If it's not yours, you have no right to go and. It's a rental. And the balabayas, if you rent the space, you can paint, do whatever you want, because on the hate.
But some people do it, they just don't paint.
They just don't paint that area, correct.
Not paint the area,
Dafka is supposed to be Sid. It's very diverse, very minhagim. Iker adin, like I told you, chutz li'aretz, there's really no minhag to do the chutz li'aretz. No din, it's a minhag, and then it's not in chutz li'aretz, it's not in Iker hadin, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. It's questionable if it's required to be done in Yerushalayim, then what is called Yerushalayim Mizman Hazeh is that the only the old city doesn't include the new, the expanded territory, and then there's the expanded of the expanded. Okay, all of this gets into, you know, there's no end to it. Okay, these are some just the basic yesodos of the Amah al Amah. And one last thing is that there's a minig, I told this many times, the minig that there is that in Chodesh Ador, Mishenichnas Ador Marbim Besimcha. So there's a minig to put up a sign in your house. Mishenichnas Ador Marbim Besimcha. Where do you put up the sign? Mishenichnas Ador Marbim Besimcha in the Ama Al Ama. Because that's where you're supposed to put the sign. If you're supposed to put the sign Mishenichnas Ador Marbim Besimcha in the Ama Al Ama, that's the Zeicher for the Churban Yerushalayim, because it's Toli Zebeze Kishem Kishemishenichnas Av Mimatim Besimcha Kach Mishenichnas Ador Marbim Besimcha. The Simcha of Adar is the Simcha of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The Purim story begins with the Aseres B'nei Haman issuing a sitna, a cancellation order, okay, and a letter of accusation against the Jewish people, which resulted in a stop order for the Beis HaMikdash. And when the story of Purim concludes, this sets into motion the revocation of the stop order and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So the place that you put Mishenichnas Ador Marbim Besimcha is in the box, the Ama Al Ama, where you have on the wall in your bayis the Zecher for the Churban of Yerushalayim. It's Tolu Zebzeh.
On the front door.
Okay, that's not the minhag.
Mishenichnas
Our Door Marbim Besimcha. Very cute. Mishenichnas Our Door Marbim Besimcha. No, Av, you leave it bare. And Av, the sign of Av is the Ama Al Ama, that's bare. That's bare. That's okay. Now let's go to another minig. Another minig is, let's go jump around. I'll tell you very quickly. I'll tell you the minig. Just the very is that when a woman, it's a good thing there are no women here. They'll chop my head off. Don't start up with the women. Don't start up with the women. They'll finish you off. A woman? No, I read the safe over here. I have a whole safe, and he says no one does this today. He basically says, don't even mention this. You'll get your head chopped off. Women, when they get dressed and they have jewelry and they're about to put on all their jewelry, I think it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch maybe. I don't know. The last thing they're about to put on, now you're not allowed to put on. whatever jewelry they're going to wear, the Gemara in Yeshaya, it's a post, it says the women wear 24 items of jewelry. There are 24, they are enumerated in Sefer Yeshaya. A kala has 24 tachshitin, keneged, accessories, keneged the 24 Sifrei Tanakh. The same way a kala has 24 tachshitin, the Talmud Chacham has to be beautified in thorough knowledge of the 24 Sifrei Tanakh. A woman has 24 accessories. A woman is not supposed to wear every single last one. So you'll say, no woman today has 24 accessories. You'd be surprised. But let's say a woman, let's say she has 5. She has 3. She has 2. Even 2, it says here, 2. If you wear, you wear 2 accessories? No. Churban Yerushalayim. If this is what you ordinarily would wear, only 1. You're not allowed to put on the last one, the last accessory, because you have to leave out something that ordinarily you would have worn. Got to hold back. Churban Yerushalayim. It's not a game, it's not a no. Seriously, today, because today, whatever. I don't know what it means, but today.
Because usually
you put it on like this. I told you. I don't know. Yes, the women don't. Listen, don't get involved. It's not good to dwell upon. I'm just telling this to you for entertainment. Entertainment purposes only. Don't try this at home. What?
That was it.
The whole year. The whole year. Whole year. The whole year. When a woman would get dressed and she would have in front of her what would be normal and accepted, the last thing she has to hold back. As I told you, it's not nogeh bezman hazeh.
Does it work that the husband holds back and doesn't give down?
Doesn't buy? No, for sure not. It's pikuach nefesh. That doesn't work. Doesn't apply to it. Now, next thing, people don't do this either. You have a su'udah, a meal. There's one dish you don't serve. So, kimash, you go to someone's house and they bring out soup, a fish and soup, and then it comes to the main course, and they say, you know, here. There's no main course. Zeicher l'chorben. I'll show you. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to have every tavshil. You're supposed to leave over a tavshil that you would ordinarily serve. Zeicher l'chorben. So I'm sorry, my guest. There's no main course. You've come to the right place. Here we follow the Shulchan Aruch. We're not serving one. Is this no gebis man hazeh? No, because whatever reason it is. Anyway, we don't have lavish meals like this. You know, your people's today, everything, less is more. Everyone's on a diet. Got to watch your numbers. Blood pressure, cholesterol, v'chulu. We live in a different type of world today. Okay, but it used to be there's such a thing, a malchus, you have a meal. There's a certain industry standard of how many dishes, how many items you put on the table. Zeicher l'chorban, you leave out one item. Okay, again, this is not done today. Now, what is done today?
Did you go off one fork?
What?
Did you go off one fork from a six-fork dinner?
It doesn't say fork. It says they used to eat with their hands. Kiddush. They used to eat with their hands, with their fingers. That's the reason you should why you wash my machreinim. Because you eat with your fingers. Today, we're not so machped on my machreinim because we eat with utensils. Women were never machped on my machreinim because women don't eat with their fingers. Women always eat with utensils. It's only the men that can't control. The men eat with their fingers, so the men need to wash mayim achreinim. But today, men also, usually, when someone is watching, they eat with utensils. So that's one of the reasons that is cited in the poskim why today we're not so makbid on mayim achreinim. Are you cold?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? Are you anyone cold?
Fine.
So we're not so makbid on mayim, but so it says to leave out a tavshil. Okay. Another quick halacha in Yerush.
Rabbi Fran speculated that because women are in the kitchen a lot, they washing their hands a few times during the meal. He didn't say this is a definite reason, but he speculated that that's what he would have, you know, assumed. That
it's similar to this idea, right? Washing
them.
Okay, another thing is if you ever go to a wedding in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, there's a minhag kadmoy not to have musical instruments at a wedding inside Yerushalayim. This was only accepted by the Ashkenazim. The Sfarim do not follow this minhag, and they will have musical instruments at a wedding inside Yerushalayim. But those that get married in Yerushalayim itself, they only a toif, one drummer, but no musical instruments because of the Churban Yerushalayim. It's not proper to rejoice a chasna. However, there are a lot of leniencies. First of all, what is called Yerushalayim? Is it only the old city? Is it only considered to be the old city, the Ir HaAtika? What about in the expanded portion of Yerushalayim? So that there are different minhagim regarding that. Some say yes, some say not. Another question is, what about a Sheva Brachas? Mutter, the Hakpada, it's only the actual Sudas Mitzvah of the Chasuna itself. But Sheva Brachas, you're allowed to have musical instruments in Yerushalayim. A Vart, in the old city, you can have musical instruments at the signing of the Tanoim. A Vart is not even a halachic, it's not even a real simcha. A Vart, you're allowed to have musical instruments at the Tanoim, the Vart, the Sheva Brachas. The only thing you're not allowed to have musical instruments as a minhag, it's a minhag kadmon. This minhag goes back hundreds of years.
But I think they tie it in, there's going to be dancing or no dancing. So by a bar mitzvah where there might be dancing, again they'll say no.
Doesn't say that here.
The other things they allow.
Only a wedding. A wedding is only because a wedding represents a relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. And when the ultimate wedding, a wedding, chasen kala, is a mashal of Hashem and Klal Yisrael. You cannot go have a private celebration of a relationship when Hashem's relation with Klal Yisrael has been damaged. We don't have, but not the tnoim, and not that. Then there's grounds for leniency, and by the Sfardim, they would never makambal this minuk. So it's not so uncommon for today, it seems, what I'm reading over here, is that a lot of Sfardim today in Eretz Yisrael, of course, and the very very good terms with the Ashkenazim, and it's very common for Ashkenazim to be invited to a simcha by Sfardim who make a lavish wedding in Yerushalayim, whether it's in the old city, and even certainly in the new city, and they have music, so are you allowed to go? I'm an Ashkenazi, and there's a terrible chayim. There are these terrible stories about people who violated the chayim, and a bolt of lightning came down. There are these very spooky stories about people who were in violation of this ancient minog not to have music at a wedding in Yerushalayim. So people always come to Rabbanim and say, I was invited to a wedding, a Sfardish wedding, and they're having live music in Yerushalayim. Am I, as an Ashkenazi, allowed to go to the wedding? And the answer is yes, you are allowed to go. It is only forbidden as a custom if you are the balabais, for you, an Ashkenazi, your tradition to have live
That's
music.
The next step, the
Who's paying? There does hot the nea hot the dea. No, isn't that always the way it goes? Okay, now let's come to one more minog. Another minog. And then other minhag, okay, nothing. Okay, oh, we're out of time. So I can't believe it's so late. What about under a chuppah? Under a chuppah, you break the glass. Now, there are two different minhag. There's breaking the glass, putting on afer. Afer on the head of the chassan. Loses afer tachas perte. We do this, you put the ash on the place where you put on the tefillin shel roish on the head of the chassan. He writes, there's a lot of halachas, he writes, you have to do this only after the chassan puts on the kittel. He first must be dressed. I don't know why. He says if you put on the afer on the chassan before he puts on the kittel, then the whole minute goes, you're not mekayim the minute. I don't know. He has very makaris for this. It's very nogea, this halacha. What?
Maybe.
It's very nogea because there are many chassanim today that walk down without the kittel and they put the kittel on under the chuppah.
Right.
So he's saying over here that if you are going to put the kittel on under the chuppah, then put the afer under the chuppah as well, because the minhag is to be dressed. I know he has the makaris to be dressed in tachrichin when the afer is put on. The Roy Shachasa.
Moshe told me to put on the kittel before I marched out. My wife wasn't happy about it, but in the room before I marched, he said, put on the kittel now.
Maybe it's because of the affair. I always wondered about this.
I do it now, and I wouldn't say, you know.
Whatever Moshe says.
I remember you should remind them to put the affair right under the chuppah.
Under the chuppah. Under the chuppah, after the chassan is wearing. The chassan is wearing the kittel, right? I never heard this before. This is new to me. He writes it, the Hakpad Gemura. The Mechaber is a very chashuv Mechaber. I don't know who the Mechaber is, but he seems to really know his stuff inside out of here. And he goes to town on this, and he talks about the Afer has to be done after the chassan is wearing the kittel. And that changes the whole Seder HaDevarim. I also wondered, so what was the Chassanim today, the Yeshiva Shachan, they put on the kittel. So I don't know why they don't want to walk down wearing a kittel, so they put on top of a raincoat. What's that all about?
The photograph.
Pictures. The pictures.
Yeah.
Hello. I saw it in a Sefer Hasidim or another Sefer Yishtayim that on the Shabbos, you should put on Bigday Shabbos, but if you can't afford Bigday Shabbos, you put on the kibble. So the kibble goes back to
Bigday Shabbos.
Bigday Shabbos.
It's Bigday Shabbos. Pella, wow. So you're saying that there's a connection. The kibble is not just tachrichin.
It's not
tachrichin. It's also Bigday Shabbos. Okay, now let me tell you another thing which today became a very big, became very controversial. It's a big day covered. It's big day covered. It's like the Kohen Gadol. Okay, let me tell you one last thing. This today became a very controversial thing. There's a new, I don't know if it's new, I don't know, under the chuppah, they after, before they break the glass, they sing, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim. I don't know where it's going to happen. This became a new thing today. Okay, everybody side. This, okay, you have to find a source. Years ago, it seems, I don't know nothing. I know, I'm just telling you a story now. Everything is Torah Shabbal Peh. Years ago, I don't even remember, I didn't pay attention, but it seems people tell me that years ago, take out all the old movies of the weddings from your parents, your grandparents, go back, no one after, first of all, in the Yerushalayim, I know in the Eretz Yisrael, it's very common, they break the glass after Harei At Mikudeshes. Okay, not like what we do here in America, the Chosin gives the Tabas, Harei At Mikudeshes, the witnesses watch, they say Mikudeshes, Mikudeshes, and after they day Mikudeshes, the Chosin breaks the glass. That's the way they do it. It's very common, what I understand, I saw my own eyes in Eretz Yisrael, that's how they do it in Eretz Yisrael. They break the glass after Harei At Mikudeshes. Minig America, as a Shulchan Aruch America says, you break the glass at the very end after the Sheva Brachas. It used to be they finished the last bracha, and right away Chosin breaks the glass.
I heard one rabbi made a speech under the chuppah. My cousin, he made a speech under the that it was unfortunate that you break the glass and everybody yells Mazel Tov.
So we said that.
Very unbecoming. And then everybody said Mazel Tov, because it was by his daughter, and he had the microphone and he said, I'm Sheol.
Ooh, okay. So it doesn't make a difference that they go and they break the glass by when they say Harei At Mikudeshes, they break the glass, they say the same Mazel Tov. All right, that's a side part.
It has to be researched, the origin of breaking the Kaili, because in the old Babylonian legal text, it says when the contract was completed between two parties, you broke the Kaili.
Like a bris, and you take the parts.
A Kenyan,
you take the parts. I take my part, you take your part, and together we'll come together. They glue together. What it's about. The Gilu Bira Adam. Okay, in a Hanami. Okay, absolutely. There are two. You break an earthenware utensil by the Tanoyim, and you break. And by the way, there's something new to me, new, in base Spanish Blochidish. There's a hakpada. This is very interesting. There's a very it's a small point which is obvious, but you don't dwell upon it. When you break the glass, the chosan breaks the glass.
Yeah.
When the plate is broken,
the mothers,
not it's not so much the mothers, it's not the chosan.
Right. So that's the way they do.
That's not why. Why? Why doesn't the chosan? Why the chosan?
You can break the plate because there's no tikkun for breaking the plate.
But glass you can reconstitute.
And there's a tikkun. That's why there's a Jewish or Yiddish tradition that it's better to get.
Right, than to break it to them, to break it to Noyim. But there's something which has to be discussed, the hakpada, that the chosan is not the one to break the utensil. And the shviga is not the one to break the glass. Okay, there's a hakpada. There's a hakpada. He has a whole safe on this stuff. Good stuff here. There's a hakpada. When it comes to breaking, there are two things that are broken. So we always talk about one is glass, one is earthenware, avada. But there's another inyan that no one talks about. Who breaks it? Let's say, how many times have you been to the Tanoim? Have you been to the Tanoim when they're sitting there, they're zetzing, and it doesn't go? Okay, every night. Can someone figure out a way they can solve this problem already? They're sitting there, they're like, so, I'll go. I once had the urge. I was once there. I said, listen, give me, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. Just give it to me. I'll do it for you. The chosan can be standing there by the shviga and his mother, and they're sitting there, and they're zetzing. The chosan says, no, give it to me. I'll take care of this for you. how do we? No.
Sometimes one of the mothers get hit.
Over the head. They hurt themselves.
They hurt, they go, like this, I
don't. What's going on? How come no one can figure out a solution? You think by now, everyone's such a chacham. Okay, one last quick story. Listen up. Okay, there's a Naya minute today. I got no problem with this. Someone today they sing beautiful melodies. Zecher Yerushalayim. You dwell upon it. People, they shuckle, they think. Okay, yeah, you pay a famous singer a few thousand dollars. The singer was listening. They're shuckling. It seems, people tell me, I don't know, that this is a new thing. This is a new thing. Ad Kedayach, someone told me that a certain rav in this neighborhood said he will not be Mesader Kedushin if they do this. This is Shaloi, this is not our tradition, I do not accept this. And if you're going to do this, get a different Mesader Kedushin. Okay, fine. Someone told me the following story. He was in Eretz Yisrael by an exquisite wedding. A very choshev rav was there, very choshev rav, and they had a singer, and it was right before they broke the glass, and he was singing, and the oilam was shuckling. The whole oilam, the melody, what he was doing, was just out of this world, and they were crying, and they were shuckling. And then a very choshev person comes over to this rav, American rav, who was also swaying and shuckling, Kavonis, when they were singing in Eshkechech Yerushalayim, and he said to him, in Shulchan Aruch it says that you're supposed to say Zog, you're supposed to say the words. It doesn't say to do this. You're supposed to say when you break the glass, I have a whole nusach here what it says to say. He says the proper way to do it is they finish the Sheva Brachas. You call, what you're supposed to do, it's almost like a joke, you call up a briska with a long, thick pace, a big hat, with no voice, and you call him, Mechubit, Haraf, Hagoin, with zogging, after they finish, Eshkachich, Yerushalayim, Tishkach, Yerini. You should repeat the words a few times just to make sure he gets all the Yerini, Tidbak, L'shayni. They should say it like a real briska. You should say the words and concentrate on the words and then break the glass. This is not what it says in Shulchan Aruch, to sing and sway. And this Rav, he gave a whole drush on this. You know who said that? Right? Goldwasser. He gave a whole drush on this. And he basically said, you know something? He's right. He has a good point. He said, I was sitting there shuckling. And he says, what would be if instead of shuckling to the melody, someone would get up and would say it slowly and clearly, say the words, without the melody and the music, the raw, like Tisha B'Av. You know, today it's very sad. I'm not a Balaam person, I have an opinion on anything. But today I look at the newspapers, they literally have concerts today on Tisha B'Av. They advertise concerts, no music. You know, everything is a cappella, a kumzitz. They say, people tell me, in Eretz Yisrael, it's very common. By the Koisel, you sit around and you sing melodies on Tisha B'Av. None of my business. When I was a kid, that's not the way it was. It was Tisha B'Av, there's no singing. The goal is to be bored to death and to think, what is life all about? To think. And Goldwasser, Ramesh says, okay, this is the way we do things today, okay? We sing a melody. But, if the chosin, okay. He really made an impression of it. There is something to it. Could you imagine under a chuppah, when it's all over, is no music, no singer, and the chosin, or if not the chosin, someone else, should just clearly say the words. Im Eshkochech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini Tidbak Lishoini Lichiki Im Lo Eshkechechi I've got the words ready. Wouldn't it be a jarring, no melody, no music? There's something about it that really does the job. There is swaying with kavanas and closing your eyes, and then there is just something that's raw. Something that's raw is very potent. It gets the job done. In Shulchan Aruch, Taka doesn't say, just say it. Zog. Okay.